Welcome to the Marlton Assembly of God Sermon Podcast. Our church is focused on developing fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We hope you are blessed by this message.
So that is the story of Daniel in the lion's den. If you've never heard of it, that's part of it. You can check it out. We're going to go through it this morning. But usually what happens at the beginning of every calendar year, God challenges his people to pray and to call on the Lord. There's some other things that happen. Maybe you try to say, I'm going to read more, I'm going to spend more time with my family, or I'm going to get in shape. I saw something about getting in shape. I joined the gym 2 weeks ago and haven't lost a single pound. I'm going down there personally next week to see what the problem is. Anyway, but God has called us as a church to a 21-day Daniel fast. And so we're two-thirds of the way through it, and we break the fast this Saturday. Now, let me just say this. If you're new with us, or maybe you weren't consistent, you could jump on board. We got six more days, and then on Saturday, you're free to break the fast and drink coffee again. America's drug, all right? Right there. That's good. But that's what's happening, and so we're just believing God for great things. If you're fasting with us, be encouraged, stay faithful, finish strong, and great things will happen. But when we talk about Daniel fast, it actually starts from Daniel as a young man and three other gentlemen, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. This happened in Daniel chapter 1. So I'm going to just kind of review really quickly. But Daniel resolved not to defile himself with the royal food and wine, and he asked the chief official for permission not to defile himself in this way. And then in verse 12, it says, please test your servants for 10 days. Give us nothing but vegetables to eat and water to drink. Then compare our appearance with that of the young men who eat the royal food and treat your servants in accordance with what you see. So he agreed to this and tested them for 10 days. At the end of the 10 days, they looked healthier and better nourished than any of the young men who ate the royal food. Let me just say this. There is something about eating properly and exercising, and maybe it's a spiritual thing that we're doing with the Daniel fast, but maybe it also challenged you personally, emotionally, spiritually, psychologically, maybe to treat yourself a little bit better, because as you get older, things do change in your life, and maybe this just jump-started you to get in shape and maybe do something. I saw an older gentleman who's sitting out in the lobby between services. He goes, I don't do much. He goes, I need to at least kind of like walk around my farm or kind of get going. I think that is true for all of us, but there was something that happened spiritually for them. They look better than the other young men. Then finally, in verse 20, it says this, in every matter of wisdom and understanding about which the king questioned them, he found them 10 times better than all the magicians and enchanters of the whole world. But this morning, remember last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. Today, we're going to look at Daniel, a man of great strength and great faith, a great man, a hero, about Daniel in the lion's den. But Daniel had problems. He had a lot of problems in his life, but God was with him. But I want to talk to you about that today, about the problems in the lion's den. Why does God allow problems? Jesus said, take heart, you will have troubles in this world. But you say, well, why do we have problems? Sometimes we just do things to ourselves and we bring on problems ourselves. I saw another little thing on social media a couple weeks ago. This is what it said. Everything happens for a reason. Sometimes the reason is you are stupid and make bad decisions. Sometimes we just do bad stuff. It has nothing to do with God, and it brings it on us. I have a couple pictures going to make you squirm about people who just do stupid stuff. Watch this. A couple guys in the pool with a TV and an electrical switch floating. Listen, if they blow up, that's not God. That's them. Look at the next picture. Someone went to Topgolf right there. Do you see the guy at the bottom? All right, next picture. You get the idea. And then they're right there. You get the idea. We could jump off of that. Sometimes we do foolish things and bring problems on ourselves. We deal with the consequences of our own problem. Sometimes other people do problems, and those problems hurt us. Someone walked out on you in a marriage, it caused you stress and problems raising the kids by yourself or whatever. If someone got your bank account number or social security number and fraudulent problems came your way and messed up your life. I've had 3 cars stolen. I didn't do anything wrong. But boy, did that mess up my insurance and all of that. Sometimes it's other people. Reminds me of a story of a king. And the king had this man-made lake. And he says to all the people in his country, he says, if anyone could swim across this lake, and it had all these like hungry eating alligators, if anyone can make it the distance of that whole lake, they could have a choice of $1 million or my daughter's hand in marriage. And she was a beautiful young lady. And all of a sudden, this young man, he's in the water and he's swimming as fast as he can. The alligators are going at him and he's swimming frantically back and forth. He's swimming and he gets all the way to the end and the alligators are kind of like biting at him. He jumps out of the pool and the king is surprised. He goes, I'm shocked so quickly that you were able to jump in the pool and kind of move your way through. And so, hey, I said, do you want $1 million or you want my daughter's hand in marriage? He goes, King, I just want to know who pushed me in. Sometimes we're just kind of thrown into the problem. And if you're a human being, you're born, you're here. You've been thrown into the world's problem. The world's problem wasn't a problem in the beginning. The Bible says that Adam and Eve lived in a perfect place, and God was there. The Bible says they were naked, not ashamed. They had all the food, all the animals, everything was good. But something went really wrong in Genesis chapter 3. Adam and Eve sinned against God. And the consequences of that sin affects us still today. You and I have just been thrown in. We've inherited it. If you're a human being, it doesn't matter if you're a Christian or not. You've been thrown in. There are problems. These are the consequences of sin in Genesis chapter 3. To the woman, he said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor, you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband, and he will rule over you. So ladies, the reason why when you have a baby it hurts is because of what happened way back in the Garden of Eden. That still happens to us today. To Adam, he said, because you listened to your wife and ate fruit from the tree about which I commanded you, you must not eat from it. Cursed is the ground because of you. Through painful toil, you will eat food from it all the days of your life. It will produce thorns and thistles for you, and you will eat the plants of the field. By the sweat of your brow, you will eat your food until you return to the ground. So tomorrow, if you go swing a hammer to make money, and you renovate homes, you say, why am I doing it? Why the pain? Why the aches? Why that? It's because of the consequences. You've been thrown into it. Why do you have to show up work tomorrow and make money for your family? You've been thrown into it. That wasn't the way it was in the beginning. You have to go tomorrow. You're moving finances around. You got the stress on your back. Why all these problems around us? Because we've been thrown into it. You were taken. And here's the problem. For dust you are, and to dust you will return. Say, why do people die? We're all going to die. Where did that come? Why are we thrown into it? Been to a funeral lately? Why is that? That's Adam and Eve. God said, if you eat from the apple or eat from that fruit, you will surely die. Death came because people sinned against God, and we've been thrown into it. That's our nature. We're in it. We deserve to die. We participate in it. Adam named his wife Eve because she would become the mother of all the living. But I want you to tell you, what God's always trying to do is restore our lives back to God through the person of Jesus Christ. This is the first prophecy in the Old Testament about Jesus. The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them. You remember, they clothed themselves with leaves. That was their attempt, the man-made attempt. But God actually killed an animal, a sacrifice, and he clothed Adam and Eve because they were naked. They felt shame. He covered over them, and the sacrifice was with blood. Every time there's sin, it must be a sacrifice to cover over. But praise be to God, through the person of Jesus Christ, there's only one sacrifice, once for all. If anyone believes on the Lord Jesus, they can be restored, sins be forgiven, and restored back to God. Amen? And if you're here today, you're far from God. God is trying to bring you back to him. You might just come here for the first time. You don't even know why, what's going on. People come to the front. What's happening? I don't know. God is trying to draw you by his Holy Spirit. He's trying to bring you back to him. Amen? So sometimes we're just kind of thrown into it. We've been thrown into the sin cycle, and we need someone to bail us out, and we do that through the person of Jesus Christ. But there's a third reason why problems come in our life, and sometimes those problems are just to show the goodness of God, declare the goodness of God. In the book of John, the Gospel of John, there was a man who was born blind, and the question was, whose fault was this? Watch this. John chapter 9, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? Why the problems that he was born blind? And Jesus said, neither this man nor his parents sinned, Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. Ladies and gentlemen, not every time there's a problem is because of sin. Sometimes God allows problems in our life to reveal the goodness of God, and God wants to do miracles in our life. Some of your biggest problems, God can take your biggest problems and convert those to miracles and testimonies for the glory of God. You came in here today, you have problems, you have issues. If you'll give those to God and say, God, I don't know what's going on. I can't figure out what the problems are, but I'm giving them to you. I'm going to trust you with it. God could use those in a very powerful way for his glory and for his honor. But Daniel's problem, it wasn't himself. It wasn't him. He never did anything wrong. He was a righteous man. Somebody, some friends of his he thought were friends, were jealous and were trying to take him down as a setup. And he got into his troubles because of somebody else. Look what it says in Daniel chapter 5, verse 3 through 5. This is the story of Daniel and the lion's den. Now, Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. At this, the administrators and satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct of government affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. Finally, these men said, we will never find any basis for charges against this man, Daniel, unless it has something to do with the law of God. They were jealous. They tried to set him up, and he just inherited these problems. I'm going to tell you right now, if you live for God, by nature, you might have problems. If everybody on your workplace is a liar and a thief, and they all clock in and take advantage of overtime or take advantage of the taxes or the boss, and you start saying, you know, God's in me, and I need to do right, everyone's going to think you're a sellout. You're a snitch. You're a weak person. If you do what's right, at some point, it's going to catch up to you. If you stand up and make a claim that I'm going to do right, no matter everyone else is cheating on a test, everybody else is lying, try this. Everybody else around you is cursing, and you stop cursing. They're going to say, hey, what's wrong with you? At some point, people around you don't like it that you live for God. So sometimes problems just come our way as followers of Jesus Christ. Secondly, and here's the second question, does God answer prayer? Because here's the question, because Daniel, a righteous man, three times a day, in the morning, noon, and night, he would go up to his window and he would pray. He would face Jerusalem and he would pray. Well, if that doesn't work, he's just wasting a lot of time. But in the book of James, it says, the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you today the story of Daniel and prayer moves the hand of God, and yes, prayer works. Let me say that again. Prayer works. I'm here to tell you of the powerful prayer. When people pray, they pray more often, they pray persistent, something happens. My sister was born deaf in one ear. True. I'm a pastor's kid, and I remember I was about 10 years old, maybe 9 years old, and my parents were so desperate. They kept bringing my sister to New York City hospitals. We're from North Jersey. Don't mess with me. I'm from North Jersey. I got friends from Bayonne. They would bring my sister, trying to clear this up. She had just suffered medically. They were so desperate. After every Sunday, they would ask the elders of the church, and my sister would be in pain. I remember she'd just be in pain. Her ear was ringing. They would try to give her. She'd always have stuff in her ears, like medicine balls and all this stuff. She was in pain. every Sunday for months, every Sunday, the church leaders would come anoint my sister with oil. Nothing would happen. Nothing would happen. But I just remember my parents, they just kept praying. They kept trusting. They kept going back to where they knew where their strength was. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm telling you, as a young person, I saw my sister be healed. My sister is healed right now. I'm telling you, prayer moves the hand of God. I don't have all the medical terms, but I think in your ear, there's four little bones that vibrate back and forth that makes you hear. In my sister's right ear, she only has three ears. She is my sister, so I think she's kind of dorky. But anyway, she only has three bones in the one ear, and those vibrate, and she hears perfectly today. God is a faithful and a good God. But watch Daniel's habit. Watch his lifestyle. Daniel chapter 6, verse 10 through 11. Now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened towards Jerusalem. Three times a day, he got down on his knees and prayed, giving thanks to his God. Watch this. Just as he'd done before. It doesn't matter what everybody does, just because the laws change or whatever. He's doing this before, and even though there's now a proclamation or kind of coming against him, he's going to continue to do what's right three times a day. Then these three men went as a group and found Daniel praying and asking God for help. Man, there is something about when people will call on the name of the Lord and do it persistently. Last week, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego refused to worship. Now today, we see that Daniel refuses to pray but to anybody but the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I'm telling you, sometimes God does things immediately. He actually did it Wednesday night. There's somebody sitting here in this room. I'm going to read it to you. I just got a text message this morning. Someone came to the prayer service on Wednesday night. By the way, Wednesday nights are the most important service of the week. We believe that God instantaneously, miraculously can heal people. This is what happened this past Wednesday. Just wanted to share with you about last Wednesday. I arrived at church feeling good, not great, but okay. After talking to people, I started getting dizzy from vertigo. I went to the altar for prayer from Pastor Rich and went back to my seat. Kept praying in my seat until worship started, repeating to myself to worship but not move my head and body, my dizziness and vertigo as I worship the Lord. My dizziness and vertigo ended as I worshiped the Lord. And I have been feeling great ever since. God is faithful. Isn't that wonderful? That happened Wednesday night in church. It didn't happen during the preaching. It happened in pre-service prayer. If you come early, 6:30 to 7, there's individual prayer. That matters. You sit down there, you talk, you're talking to God, you maybe keep your mouth shut, let God talk to you, be in the presence of God, let some of the deacons and elders pray for you. Sometimes things happen instantaneously. Other times, we just got to be faithful. If it doesn't happen in the morning, it might happen in the afternoon. If it doesn't happen in the afternoon, it might happen at the evening. There's an old-time song that says, God answers prayer in the morning, God answers prayer at noon, God answers prayer in the evening. So keep your heart in tune. Why would Daniel pray three times a day? Because he's keeping his heart in tune. He wanted to be connected to his God. And nothing was going to change. He didn't want the laws of the land. He was just going to trust his God. But sometimes you have to just pray and keep persistent. Look at Luke 8, chapter 18. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And this parable is loaded with the future and all this stuff, but he begins to try to tell a story. In a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. But there was a widow in that town that kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice for my adversary. For some time, he refused, but finally, he said to himself, and it was kind of like this ongoing thing. By the way, the judge in the story is not God. He's kind of flipping it. But verse 1 has the main point. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Ladies and gentlemen, if you're on this Daniel fast and you're believing God for miracles and it hasn't come true just yet, keep praying. We still have six more days. Amen? I'm thinking about steak and eggs too, but we need to hang on there. Am I? We need to pray. We need to pray just to make it today. The doctor can't do it. The lawyer wants to pay, but the blood is the power. That's why I pray. No matter what the problem is, you know that God is love. And when it's time to put my trust, I'll trust in the blood. Amen. Come on. Yeah. Here's the question. Oh, you can check me out on Spotify after. Here's the question. Does God answer prayer? The answer is yes. God answers prayer. Beginning next week, we're going to do a new sermon series during the month of February on relationships or whatever. We're calling it Love and Lies. Satan lies. He wants everyone in this room. He wants you to believe the lie that prayer doesn't work and it won't happen for you. But according to God's sovereignty, to God's grace, one of the great joys about being a follower of Jesus Christ is that God does answer prayer. He wants us to be so connected to him that we pray the right prayers. We don't pray selfish prayers. We pray in the will of God. We pray that God's will be done. And when we pray God's will, we pray in the scriptures, we'll see more answer to prayer in our lives for the glory of God. But we're not weak. We're strong. And when we keep praying. So if something doesn't happen in the morning, you pray in the noontime. Something doesn't happen in noontime, you pray in the evening. We don't give up. We keep trusting our God. I went to Disney World with the kids a few years ago. Man, that place would kill you financially. Anyway, that's a long story. Just got to pay off the second mortgage for Disney World. Anyway, but we went there, and there was a Muslim man that I saw walking. It was a certain time of day. You know, Muslim people pay 5 times a day. And I saw him in the middle of Disney World. It's like a heavy traffic area. I saw him take out a little mat and bow down towards Mecca. A devout Muslim will kneel down and lean towards Mecca. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you, we serve the living God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Daniel, David, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When we pray, our God hears our prayer and responds when we call on his name. We believe instantaneously, but we also believe, like Daniel, we must be consistent, we must be faithful, we must be in habit, and we keep praying, we keep trusting God, for he is a good God. And here's the last question about Daniel. Can God prosper my life in a secular world through trials, temptations, challenges, difficulty? Can God lift me up? There may be people in this room, you were born on the wrong side of the tracks. Your dad wasn't there. You were born into poverty. You were cursed at as a kid. Issues. Maybe there's some physical issues. Or maybe someone even did something to you that emotionally scars you. Maybe you've been abused, sexually abused. Something inside of the past. And it's like a chain to the past. And it kind of keeps you. Or mentally it keeps you. And your mind goes back there. You run through it. If you played it out, it's full of anger, depression, discouragement. It's all this stuff. Daniel, for no reason of his own, he was thrown into the lion's den for only being righteous, and all of a sudden he was down. But I want to tell everybody in this room, God has a way of lifting people up at the right time for his glory and for his honor. And it's not just Daniel in the lion's den. It's not a little story for 7, 8-year-olds, although you should teach this to your children. It's for us. God has a way to bring us from the ashes and to lift us up. Moms and dads, I want to tell everyone in this room, God wants to use your children in a very powerful way. Listen, my kids have always played sports, but the goal is not really just to kick a ball or shoot a basket. And I love it. I play sports, all that. Do we have a field house? The goal is that our kids would serve the Lord. And they would prosper, even if things around them aren't perfect or aren't right. But watch Daniel. Daniel chapter 6, verse 19. At the first light of dawn, the king got up and hurried to the lion's den. When he came near the den, he called to Daniel in an anguished voice. Daniel, servant of the living God, has your God, whom you serve continually, been able to rescue you from the lions? Daniel answered, may the king live forever. He was never disrespectful, even to secular people. My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me, because I was found innocent in his sight. Nor have I done any wrong before you, your majesty. The king was overjoyed and gave orders to lift Daniel out of the den. And when Daniel was lifted from the den, no wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. Let me say that. No wound was found on him because he had trusted in his God. At the king's command, the men who had falsely accused Daniel were brought in and thrown into the lion's den, along with their wives and children. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. God will take care of your enemies. Vengeance is his. If you go after your enemy, you're just going to hurt yourself. If people mess with you, at some point you just got to let it go. Amen? And you're not a punk. You're not a wimp. You're not a sucker if you do the right thing. Sucker MCs, they call me sire. Devote my kingdom. You'll see you fire. I won't stop rocking till I retire. All right, anyway. Dude, I'm fired up. After three services, just let it go. Sorry. And before they reached the floor of the den, the lions overpowered them and crushed all their bones. Then King Darius wrote to all the nations, the peoples of every language in all the earth. Watch this. One man changed the whole world. May you prosper greatly, Daniel. I'm going to put this into law. I issue a decree that in every part of my kingdom, people must fear and reverence the God of Daniel. For he is the living God and he endures forever. His kingdom will not be destroyed. His dominion will not end. He rescues and he saves. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens on the earth. Let me say this. Everybody in this room, God wants to save you. My God can save you. He rescues you and he saves you. He performs signs and wonders in the heavens and the earth. He has rescued Daniel from the power of the lions. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Can God save us? Can God lift us? Can God bring us to where we need to go? The answer is yes. Sometimes you actually go through the fire. Sometimes you actually go through the lion's den. It's difficult. You're studying. You're being faithful. Nothing's happening. It's getting worse. You know, people over you, authority, aren't doing what's right or whatever. You're saying, God, no matter what, I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to trust you no matter what, God. You're my God. I don't care what man says. I'm going to keep being faithful. I'm not going to disrespect anybody. I don't care if it's the white man or the black man, the Spanish immigrant. I don't care. I'm going to keep doing the right thing for the glory of God. And God, in his perfect time, has a way to lift you up. There's other biblical stories, like a guy like Joseph. You think you have a tough life. Joseph's family is so dysfunctional. His brothers sold him into slavery. Thanks, brothers. Sold him into slavery. He worked himself up, so distinguished himself. He's at Potiphar's house. God entrusted him with everything except his wife. Potiphar's wife was messed up. This is a drama. This drama story. When people say the Bible isn't like real or it's not fun, they just don't know it. I mean, this is a story. Potiphar's wife kept trying to go after Joseph. But every time Joseph came around, he would run. One day, she got him alone, and Daniel ran. I mean, excuse me, Joseph ran, but she grabbed his garment, and she cried rape. So now he's in prison for a crime he did not do. This is before DNA testing came out. He's out there. Where's God? What's happening now? But can we still trust God even when we do the right thing and it still doesn't go our way? So he's trusting God. And now he's forgot. He's staying in there for years. He has some friends. He's building relationship. The cupbearer and the baker, they come down and they kind of forget him and life moves on. And God, in his sovereign plan, has a way of lifting up people, young people. And in God's perfect timing, you remember the end of the story, Joseph's brothers were all humbled and humiliated because they disrespect. God says, listen, Joseph said, I'm not going to take you guys out. It's for this very purpose that I am here to bring salvation and to save. Could you imagine you're here today and you're broken, you're hurting, things aren't going right, but you put your faith in God. No matter what, you say, God, I'm going to trust you. Could you imagine you give your life to Christ today and your life gets worse? You give your life today and your boss fires you. I mean, could you imagine? That's what, there is a sense that sometimes when we make commitments to God, it can actually be worse, but God's still working. It's almost like the song, even when I don't see him, he's working. Even when I don't feel it, he's working. Moms and dads, some of you right now, you're praying for your kids. They're not serving God. And maybe they look like they keep going farther and farther, but God's working. And you're just kind of in the in-between right now, but God's good, right? He's faithful in all of his ways. So right now, you might be in a time of trial. You might be in a time of testing. Or you're a student, you're in a time of studying and preparation. You're learning how to be holy. You're learning how to pray. You're learning how to be faithful. You're learning how to have healthy relationships with the opposite sex. You're learning how to be respectful. You're learning how to pray in the Spirit. You're learning, you're growing, but God is still working in your life. Just because it isn't your time yet doesn't mean that God isn't working. One of the things that God always wants to teach us is his perfect timing in our life. Romans chapter 5, verse 6. To see at just the right time when we are powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Jesus, at the perfect time, all roads lead to Rome. In God's sovereignty, why did that happen? So the gospel could go to the whole world. Galatians 4:4, but when the set time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law. God, in his perfect timing, does amazing and miraculous things. So ladies and gentlemen, I transition to service. Over the last couple weeks, I've been talking to you about your children and next generation. Critical. Over the next couple weeks, next month, we just believe God is going to keep divinely showing us. We just believe that God wants to raise up Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the house. In the house. Let me say that again. In the house. I got three daughters. In the house. God wants them to prosper and do great things. But as I get older, not everything just happens in the moment. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were teenagers, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old. Daniel. But the story of Daniel in the lion's den, he's no longer a teenager. He's 80 years old. Most people think he's still like a young guy, 22, 23. No, he's 80. He's 80. And I want to just tell you, if you're older in the house, God's not done with you yet either. He might still have you going through some trials and be thrown in the lion's den. You're like, I thought I got through this. Nope. God loves you so much to strengthen you, and he wants you to do great things to bring salvation and hope. Remember, the whole world heard the decree of the goodness of God. And so God's not done with you. But as I'm getting older, I'm 47. Actually, I can't wait till tomorrow. I get better looking every day. Woo! Woo! I'm getting off track. That... battle me while I try. You better believe it. That's how I found my wife. I told you this story. We're having some fun right now. I went to the Cherry Hill Mall, right, over the banister. Young guys, if you're looking for a wife, this is what you do. You go to Cherry Hill Mall, over the banister. And all the ladies come to you. And then you pick one. And this was my wife, Miriam. She's like this, me. She's jumping like this. And then she went up the escalator like this. Ladies and gentlemen, that same face for the last 24 years has not changed. But I've been in Newark. I was in Newark as a youth pastor and a senior pastor for 13 years. And I was just thinking about this. I've been down in Marlton now for 13 years. 13 and 13. Man, you talk about opposite ends of the spectrum. I know it's the one state, and North Jersey is different. But Newark, New Jersey, I was in the middle of the hood. 962 South Orange Avenue. I was in the middle of it. I'm now at 625 East Main Street in Marlton, and I'm not in the middle of the hood. This is not the hood. But now I have some legs under me, 47, been doing ministry for like 26 years. And boy, you kind of just start adding it up. And if you're going to keep staying faithful, you're going to see a lot of great things happen. What God is doing at Marlton is almost unbelievable. I just want to show you something. Over the last 13 years, what God has done out of Marlton Assembly of God, and you know this, from our staff, people that have been on staff with me, 10 people have left to go be senior pastors. In the state of New Jersey, in the Assemblies of God, there was no staff evangelist. And now God, in his sovereignty and his grace, and God's calling on Jermell, and Jermell's obedience, we've raised up, with God's help, a staff evangelist. He'll be preaching next week. Ground Zero students, I talked to Pastor Mike, we are now in the 15th year of Ground Zero. I said, Pastor Mike, how many people have not only just come through the program, but actually are now serving God like in ministry or mission, whatever? We kind of try to calculate the best we can. Do you know there's over 100 people that have gone through Ground Zero that are on full-time staff or missionary work around the world? It's incredible. Isn't that wonderful? That's not something small. That's substantial. These people are proclaiming the goodness of God all around the world. It's not me. I'm just saying there's kind of a connectivity. For some of you who have been around for a couple of years, listen to the pastors, Pastor Brian Fisher, Bob and Dana. There's been two Pauls, Mike Atkins, Troy. Pastor Chad was a senior pastor, came on staff, went back to being a senior pastor. David Kim left here. Now he's a president of University of Valley Forge. Louis Garcia was a deacon and actually left this church to go start a Spanish church. He's a senior pastor of a Spanish church. That's amazing. But I do want to just show you one thing at the bottom. Our church supports 130 missionaries. That's wonderful. Most of those people you'll probably really never know. They probably were raised in a different church, came, we financially and we prayerfully support them. We love missionaries, as you know. They're in our small groups. We had a missionary here this past Wednesday. These are special people. They leave, they go do God's work around the world. The least we can do is support them and pray for them. They're the heroes. I really believe that. So we support 130 of them. You can actually see their names and their faces and how much we financially support them down the nursery wing there. You can just see, wow, that's a lot. We gave over $500,000 last year to missions. That's a lot of money. We're number two in the state. There is one church called Bethany Church. They give $2 million. It's pretty good. That's always a sign of a healthy church. But I want to tell you today, and by the way, what's happening, when you might not even know it, and young people, you might not even know it, but God is raising up people that you do know from our congregation to go be missionaries. There's a young lady by the name of Allison Fink. She didn't go to the Assemblies of God route. She went with Youth with a Mission. We hear good reports all the time, and she has a heart to reach the world for Christ. There's another, I think it's Diege or Ware. Some of you guys might know her from Ground Zero. She just got certified to be an Assembly of God credentialed missionary for the glory of God. Amazing. I tell you, that'll bless your heart. That'll bless your heart. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we support 130 missionaries. As of today, we're going to start supporting 131 missionaries. Pastor Andy Lynn is going to become a missionary.
So we've been excited to share this with you. Santina and I felt called. You can see it up there. It's on the right-hand side, Youth Alive Missionaries. And what that is in the Assemblies of God, every state or every district of churches has one missionary, just like the other missionaries we support, except we're not in a foreign country. We're in New Jersey, which is kind of like a foreign country in some ways. But our goal is the young people of New Jersey. And we felt about 2 years ago, I was on a missions trip to Turkey with our Ground Zero students, and we were hanging out with the guy that's in charge of the missionaries in Turkey, and he's just an amazing man of God. And I said, hey, how can we help? And my thought was more prayer and finances, because I looked in the city that we were in, and there's just thousands of Muslims. And in my mind, I'm like, how are you ever going to reach them? Like, what can we do to help? And if you were to take, just in that one city alone, you were to put one person in Eagle Stadium and then fill the stadium with Muslims, that's the ratio from Christians to Muslims. Like, it's not close, over 99% Muslim or unreached. And he turned to me and he goes, Andy, prayer is number one. Finances are awesome, they're needed. But he goes, do you know what we really need? He said, I need young people of any age, really, who want to give their life fully to God's calling into missions. He says, when you go home, can you help encourage young people to say yes to the call of God? And it kind of just began to sit on my heart, and just I was chewing on it just kind of like the last year or so. And in New Jersey alone, there's over 1,500 public schools. There's between like 1.3 and 1.5 million middle school and high school students. If the students were to form their own country, it's terrifying, I know. But if those students were to form their own country, they would be an unreached people group. And we don't have to drive or even fly anywhere to see them. Most of you passed schools on the way here. And they're full of students who do not know that Jesus loves them, that are not set free, that are still in bondage. And back in the day when I started youth ministry, I think it's about 13 years ago now, I could go to Chick-fil-A, bring Chick-fil-A lunches, and walk into a public school, and it was like normal. I would stop at the office, you know, say hi, they'd give me a name tag. Nowadays, it's like on lockdown. So I can't just walk in there. It'd probably be creepy if I did, but I just can't walk in there. And so what we can do, though, is we can mobilize and equip students to fulfill the call of God in their lives with their own friends. And it's not just the public schools, it's homeschools. It's for some students, they're really into sports. It could be their soccer team. The bottom line is to take any middle schooler or high schooler and encourage them that they are not too young to be salt and light. When we look at Scripture, the apostle, the disciple John, they think was 14 or 15 years old when he began to follow Jesus. Pastor John, the last couple weeks, we're talking about Daniel and his friends. They're teenagers. God has always used teenagers to reignite a revival. And I really believe in my heart it's what's going to happen here in New Jersey with our young people. Let me show you this slide. So what we're going to be doing, my wife and I, starting April 1st, we're going to be here at Marlton through February. And then in April, we'll be going church to church, raising support and funds, and also training and equipping. So we're going to be equipping and mobilizing students. Our youth ministry here Friday nights is middle school. It's at 7. I highly recommend it. Sunday night is at 5 o'clock. But we'll be going to youth ministries just like ours and helping getting students excited about lost people. We're going to be resourcing their youth pastors and their youth leaders to do that week to week when we're not there. We're going to be resourcing and equipping parents, and we're going to be helping churches impact their schools. So our goal is to see thousands of young people come to know Jesus for the first time. And it probably won't always be me personally reaching them, but we'll be planting seeds in the hearts of young people. And our prayer is that we'd have hundreds of them say yes to missions. But honestly, I realize that most of them are going to become teachers, lawyers, mechanics, HVAC techs, you name it. They're going to have a career. And my prayer is that as they go, as they do their life, whatever God's called them to do, that they are equipped to reach people for him. We are always one generation away from people falling away from the Lord. But although that can be kind of discouraging, it's also exciting. We're also one generation away from an amazing move of God. And I believe it's going to start with our students. And I'm just thankful. We've been at Marlton for 6 years. And I am so thankful. I have two little girls, as you see in this picture. And Marlton Christian Academy, MCA, has been instrumental in helping me disciple them. And I'm so thankful for it. Our kids ministry here has been so gracious. And I'm so pumped as a parent to have partners in their discipleship. So I just want to say thank you to everyone involved in that. I also just, for me and my wife, we love you. And it's kind of bittersweet because we're friends with many of you. We've done ministry with a lot of you. And we want you to know that we love you deeply. But the peace in our hearts, although we're going to miss you, the peace in our hearts is that God is calling us to it. And we're excited. And we're excited that we're going to be staying local in Jersey, and we'll still see you, just not as often because we'll be traveling from church to church raising support. But I want to say I love you, and I am so blessed to be changing from now on staff to being one of your missionaries. So God bless you. Have a great day.
Let's stand together. So this is how it goes with a church. A church is a family. But Pastor John has a team. So there's going to be people that come on the team, and there's going to be people that come off the team. So what's going to happen to Pastor Andy? By the way, Pastor Andy will be here in full-time capacity for the next month, and there will be a layover because of responsibilities. So what's going to happen is people jump on the team, people jump off the team. Church as a family kind of stays together. So Pastor Andy's just jumping off the team, but he's going to jump onto another team. He'll come off our payroll, but he'll come on one of our supported missionaries. So we're going to financially support him. So we now have 131 missionaries. How great is that? Amen. And so, I don't know if you remember, but Pastor Christian, he came on staff with us like in October, and I said, he'll be over youth, young adults, and more stuff will be given to him. You remember that? But because we already have a youth pastor, okay, wait, we have two youth pastors. It was a little confusing, but I just couldn't tell you. Let's say I would have to kill you. But God's sovereignty, Pastor Christian's responsibility at his church in Pennsylvania was dying down. I said, well, why don't you come on board? At least you could have November, December, like January to get to know the congregation or whatever. But Pastor Christian will now be over youth, young adults, and Ground Zero School of Discipleship. God has given us somebody in advance. And by the way, we knew this was happening. We just had to get through the holidays, make sure all the students knew. We didn't lose anybody. But this is Pastor Christian, some of his credential. He served as a co-operational director of South Carolina School of Leadership that had 100 students. So he's already done like a ground zero. He served as adjunct professor at University of Valley Forge. He's helped over 50 students obtain their credentials with the Assemblies of God. And he has over 20 years of ministry experience. Him and his wife, Amanda, beautiful family, they fit in well already. But we do want to take youth ministry up to the next level. We want to take young adults at 18 to 29. We want to take that up to the next level. And we want to keep seeing ground zero grow. So we give our attention now to Pastor Christian. If you haven't had a chance to meet Pastor Christian, you should take him out to eat. All vegan burger, brother. But sometimes when you like people, you're kind of sad to see them go. We like Pastor Andy and Santina. So it kind of stings at the moment. But do you know the Bible tells us to go? God told Abraham, go. I'll bless you. I'll be with you. God tells us to go. Go into all the world and make disciples. From this church, there's going to be more people that go. So I just need to tell you, a healthy church sends people. The goal is just not to, and by the way, we're running record attendance. Last night we had like 225 people. 9 o'clock service felt just like this. We want to build because we need more nursery space and all that stuff. But the goal is to raise up people to send them out. So Pastor Andy could just say, no, I'm going to stay. I want to stay. Or I could say, no, Andy, don't leave. But when God calls you, you have to go. And you don't hold on too long because then you get frustrated. But when the time's right, you release people, you send them, you bless them, you pray for them, and you celebrate what God wants to do in their life. Amen? Moms and dads, when you dedicate your children to the Lord, you nurture them. But at some point, you have to let them go. When they get married, you have to let them go. But also, you want them to see what God wants to do in their life. And it's always more rewarding when they're doing what God calls them to do. Amen? So, Andy, Pastor Andy, you can guarantee us that we're going to financially support you and we're going to prayerfully support you. Pastor Andy will be educating his kids at MCA to at least the end of the year. But even past that, if he wants to, he lives locally. Social media, you can check him out. There's no problem. By the way, there might be a time I have to stand up before you. Hey, we have a problem. Somebody did something bad. I have to be honest with you. There's no problem. I wouldn't lie to you on this. Pastor Andy's in good standing. We're excited about his future. We're celebrating. He's energized. And we're also energized about the future. Amen? So we just kind of move forward together. But Pastor Andy will be here a little bit longer. Usually, just so you know how it goes, when you hire somebody, you take your time to make sure it's the right person. And when it's time to say goodbye, you usually cut it off quick. Just telling you, that's a good lesson in life. But we don't feel any strain at all. So a month just gives us, on ground zero especially, a little bit more time. So by our talking, I think that helps stabilize the congregation. But on our way out, we want to sing a song that we've been singing. It's called The Doxology. How many of you have been joining The Doxology, right? So this is kind of like a song that we just feel like everybody should know, especially if you grow up in our church, you should know about God. So we're going to sing this on the way out, but there's just a couple things I want to talk to you about. One is, if you've never given your life to Jesus Christ, we're going to close this service with a word of prayer. And you're far from God or whatever, and God's trying to draw you in. He wants to bring you back into the Garden of Eden. He wants to take away your sin and have you have a new relate. He wants to restore your life. You come here, he wants to restore your life. And then secondly, if you're kind of new with us, here's just a couple of next steps that you can kind of just think about. if you're interested in kind of growing with the church and getting to know some people, right after church, it says 12:30, that's about right. 12:20, 12:25, get your kids. It's not a sleepover. Get your kids and go over there. Make it a priority. United Prayer Service every Wednesday night. You need individual prayer, 6:30 to 7. And then invite people to church all the time with you. It's such a great thing. But I want to close with a word of prayer, and then we'll sing the doxology. Would you pray with me? If you've come here today, you've never given your life to Jesus, or you've fallen away and you're coming back, you say, Pastor, I live far from God. I want to live with Him. I want to enjoy Him. I want to be close to Him, even if it hurts. Even if things don't go my way, like Daniel, even if things get worse before they get better, I'm going to trust Him and I'm going to obey Him, but I want to start a relationship with God. God did that through the person of Jesus Christ. God sent His Son because He loves us to die on the cross and to rise again in resurrection power inside of us to give us victory, to help us live a holy life, and to bring us to heaven in Christ. Today you're here, you say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to ask Jesus Christ to come into my heart and come into my life. No one's looking around, but you shoot your hand up and say, I want to start following Jesus beginning today. If that's you, can I see your hand in the house? Is there anyone today in the house that's serving God, wants to serve the Lord and begin a walk with Christ? I see someone in the back, someone in the front, anyone else. Today's your day. You want to start following Jesus. Let's pray this prayer together. Dear Jesus, I invite you into my heart. As a follower of Jesus, the rest of my life, I turn from my sin and live with resurrection power. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. We praise His name. We praise His name.